It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Monday, February 15th. I'm Patricia Naft. The USA Pro Challenge, a yearly bike race that runs through the Western Slope, is canceled. The event will not take place at all this year. The event's CEO says that because of a recent shift in ownership, they wouldn't be able to hold the event and reach their goals. Instead, the race is planned to continue in 2017. The city of Grand Junction was planning on being the starting location this year. A proposal that would have made it easier for juries in Colorado to impose the death penalty failed in the State Judiciary Committee Wednesday. One Republican lawmaker joined with Democrats to defeat the bill. Penta Berkland has more.
State law requires juries to reach a unanimous decision when imposing the death penalty. Senate Bill 64 would have allowed the death penalty if 11 out of the 12 jurors agreed to it. Public defenders, religious organizations, and anti-death penalty groups testified against the bill. Nathan Woodliffe Stanley is with the American Civil Liberties Union in Colorado.
Death is an irreversible punishment that should never be allowed under weaker standards than we require for something like shoplifting.
Meanwhile, supporters say it will be a deterrent to crime and could save lives. Republican Senator Ellen Roberts of Durango was the swing vote.
I believe that we have to meet the highest procedural threshold before we impose the death sentence.
Unlike some of the Democrats on the committee, Roberts says she does support the death penalty, but she voted against the bill and the measure failed 3-2. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
An armed standoff in Montrose ended without injury or death on Thursday. According to the Daily Press, Tim Martinez was disgruntled about a court hearing that day and used a gun to threaten his father and mother. Both were able to leave the apartment, but Martinez holed up inside for 3 hours, refusing to communicate with police. SWAT and an armored vehicle were deployed by the Montrose Police Department. Martinez eventually gave himself up, ending the event peacefully. Personal incomes are rising faster in counties with more public land. That's according to a new study from Montana nonprofit Headwaters Economics. KVNF's Laura Palmisano spoke to High Country News correspondent Krista Langlois, who wrote an article about the report.
What were the main findings of the study?
The main findings of the study is that overall, on average, rural western counties with more federal public land performed better by four key economic indicators than counties with less public land. The indicators were population change, employment change, personal income, and per capita income.
According to the study, why are personal incomes on the rise in these communities?
The study didn't exactly tease out why, but the study's authors had some pretty good guesses. A lot of them, they looked specifically at public lands that had protected areas, and they found that a lot of people who can work from home or who are in industries like technology, healthcare, real estate, those industries are either faster growing or more stable than traditional industries like agriculture or mining or oil and gas drilling. And so people who are in those, the tech and healthcare type of industries, tend to be able to move wherever they want, and they are kind of drawn to scenic areas with a lot of recreational values.
Now, you mentioned some of those traditional uses of public lands when we're thinking about economic drivers like logging, mining, or ranching. So this study, does it take into account when those industries aren't doing so well?
There are certainly places where those industries are not doing well, and there are certainly counties within the study that did not have positive changes in those economic drivers. So in some places where, say, the logging or mining industry has taken a really deep dive in the past few decades, those counties, in, you know, they're not doing well. And I'm sure we've all driven through places like that that are rural and that have a lot of public land and that are kind of on the down and out. But what the study found is that those are outliers, and overall places with more public land tend to be doing better.
What did the study find about Colorado communities? An example that comes to mind is Delta County, which is a community that's been hard hit by the decline in coal.
Sure. So I pulled out 10 Western Colorado counties, and the data is all from the federal government. It's from the U.S. Census Bureau and the Bureau of Economic Analysis. The only county out of the 10 that I pulled out that has negative population growth since 1970 is San Juan County, which is around Silverton. And Delta County actually is kind of in the middle. It has had a 95% change in population, positive change in population. Employment is up 156%. And per capita income growth is up 75%. So even though the coal industry has absolutely hit Delta County really hard in recent years, overall that's been, it seems to have been offset by gains elsewhere.
What about ski resorts? I think communities like Aspen and Vail might skew these results.
Yes, communities like Aspen and Vail definitely skew the results. Here in western Colorado, Pitkin County, where Aspen is, has had an 809% change in personal income. Durango's had a 598% change. And Telluride, San Miguel County, has had a 1,295% change in personal income growth. So those are really high numbers. Obviously, those communities are doing very well economically. And they do kind of skew the overall gains. But the author of the study from Headwaters Economics took out the top 5%, like the Aspens and the Vales, and she found that the overall gains were still positive.
So what about this study caught your eye?
High Country News and a lot of other media outlets, of course, have been covering the Sagebrush Rebellion and the Malheur occupation in Oregon, both of which are driven by a lot of anti-public land rhetoric. So the message that people behind those are kind of putting out is that federal lands, federally managed public lands, are detrimental to communities, that they impede economic growth. And so this seemed like an interesting counterpoint to that, and also a very data-driven, you know, hard to argue with these numbers counterpoint.
That was Krista Langlois with High Country News speaking to KVNF's Lara Pomisano. You can find Krista's article on the study at hcn.org. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft. Up next, Western Slope Skies. In this episode, Brian Cashin and Winter Stars, followed by Leah Love and the Monday Morning Music Mix.